Hello, is this thing on? Hey, hi, hey, this is Brian, and I'm broadcasting to you live from Earth. Come on, won't you join me? Hey there, guys, it's been another week. I'm Brian, and of course, you know what this is. This is the Live from Earth podcast, and I'm just checking in to say, yo, what's up? How about that for an enthusiastic introduction? Does that get you all pumped up? Oh, man. It's been a boring week. Not a lot going on, you know. Newly single Brian has been in this dating kibosh, and it's just been terrible. And hang on a second. Anyway, online dating sucks. Sorry about that, but life is what happens when you're busy making plans. I'm sitting here trying to do this little introduction here on the podcast, and the damn kid calls me, "Hey, it's raining, come get me." I'm like, "You're riding the damn bus. Get on the bus." "But it's going to rain on me when I get to the bus stop." I said, "Then when you get to the bus stop, 5-10 minutes before you get to the bus stop, call me and I'll come get you." And then she's like, "I think I missed the bus." I'm like, "I'm going to kill you. Go find out." So hopefully she didn't miss the bus. Kids, I love them, but god damn. So anyway, go back to this dating bullshit. Oh my god. What's wrong with women today? Or is it just me? You know, you go onto these dating sites and you're throwing out hellos and greetings and felicitations to all these women, and you get these half-ass hellos, or you get totally ignored. So either I'm really hideous, or I'm really so good-looking that I intimidate them, or I don't know how to send a greeting. I get in my head too much. And it's just like, ugh, it's ridiculous. And then, you know, you're just trying to meet somebody to say, "Hey, you know, I'm going to be 55 this year, and I'm just looking to date." And it doesn't necessarily have to be that I just want to fuck your brains out and then, you know, that's it. But how about, you know, someone that I can get together with, we can go have some drinks, go see some live music, go on a road trip, go to a movie, someone to do something with, someone that's mature enough to have their shit together, and someone that's mature enough to know, "Hey, I can get together with this guy, and we can have fun, and then he goes home, and then I go home. And that's it, you know? What is so hard about that? You know, I just don't get it." Click, 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 click. I'm clicking my mouse, sorry. So, the kid's calling me again. Hang on. Professionalism at its finest. Are you loving this podcast? I'm just letting it all hang out there. I mean, I could have had the conversation on the phone, but son of a bitch, you know, it's like, I work so much, I try to do this podcast because I enjoy doing it, and I'm finally sitting down to have some meaningful conversation on here, and then the kiddo's like, "Oh, I missed my bus." So now guess who's got to go fucking get her? It's like, god damn, anything else? I know I'm a father, it's just aggravating, because if it's raining, you should know to ride the bus. I love my kid, but come on, Jesus Christ, common sense, just get on the bus. So now I have to drop everything I'm doing, and I can't finish what I'm doing. I'm just venting. I'm just fucking venting. I shouldn't be this upset about it. It's ridiculous. So, I guess I have to go, so I will be back.
This is the story of the House of El.
My name is Adam Strange. Someone from the future is coming to destroy Krypton. Because your grandson becomes the greatest hero in the universe. Superman.
I've been having this vision.
We are not alone in the universe.
Either rise or you fall.
It's known as the Collector of Worlds, but his true name is Brainiac.
Son of Krypton, your world
things that I've done before. I gotta
do what I got. Help me find a way to stop him.
You have to find the fortress. I gotta
do what I got. Time you learn the truth.
Brainiac is going to rip Kandor from the ground and enslave all of us.
You are insulted.
Fight with honor and fight without mercy.
Yeah, bitch. Fortress of Solitude. Superman's cape. Did you see that? Oh, no, you didn't. It's a podcast. Hey, stay tuned. Our review's coming up next. So I've been watching this new show called Krypton that tells the story of Superman. What sci-fi's done is taken on the job of trying to tell a story to the audience, like myself. I didn't really think I would care about Superman's grandfather or a doomed planet, especially since they're not going to have any superpowers. And I was wondering how they were going to make me care about these characters and justify the existence just to make me tune in for a pre-Superman prequel series. I mean, we all know that everyone's doomed. And how is this show going to deal with the fact and its eventual destruction? Boom! So I thought they were jumping on a bandwagon for quasi-superhero shows, and I wondered, how are they going to deal with the comparison to DC's other current superhero prequel series? You know, like the so-so pre-Batman, adolescent, Bruce Wayne, emo show Gotham that I still watch because, hey, I am a Batman fan. So what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to let you go and let you know what I think of this show and what sci-fi is doing. Basically, they're giving us a space opera, and it's about Kryptonians who don't have superpowers and live under their native sun and a religious zealot named Rao. So here I go. I'm going to give you my take on the show and let you know what I think of it. So basically, we're given some exposition on the House of El, and we're introduced to Superman's grandfather, Segel. And it's played by this actor named Cameron Cuff, or Koof, sorry Cameron, and who, at the offset, is a pretty bland character. But we do get to look at their real-world problems. Now, Krypton is not a shining utopia that has been imagined in comics and countless movies and TV series. We never hear of any other cities on this planet, which may or may not explain the overpopulation of the city, the slums of Kandor, which is the city of Krypton. Excuse me. Well, this is a podcast, so deal with it. Now, if you are not lucky enough to be born as a member of one of the great houses on Krypton, then you are one of those that have to scratch and claw and scavenge a meager life, which may include working as an underling to one of those great houses. Now, Krypton is a planet like all planets, basically. Like our planet, it's governed. And on Krypton, we don't get to see racism. We see marriages that are arranged. We see reproduction that's handled artificially, kind of Matrix style. But the socioeconomics of this planet divide is quite harsh. So basically, here comes our hero, Seg-El, and because he is an El, he has a unique pedigree that comes from the House of El, you know, like Jor-El, Kal-El, and that lets him move freely between the elite world and the underclass. Now, see, he was born into one of those great houses, but exiled to the rankless, because his grandfather was executed for his beliefs that Krypton was in danger. He didn't believe in the religious, you know, where the planet was going. And so basically they killed him for it. But Seg is brought back into the Science Guild thanks to political machinations of the House of Vex. Another house. Excuse me. Damn it. Now, Darren Vex, played by Elliot Cohen, he is the villain, and he quietly plays a long political game trying to unite the guilds and the rankless against this religious zealot known as the Voice of Rao, who I previously spoke of. So Will this new world order, will they put Darren at the top that he is desperately vying for? That's what we have to tune in for. And that's what I keep tuning in for. Darren Vex's relationship with his daughter Nyssa, who is played awesomely, by the way, by actress Wallace Day. Nyssa is manipulative like her father. She is willing to take risks, and she does make allies that nobody really close to her sees. And she does it without using sex as a weapon. And that's kind of refreshing to see strong female leads and being not, you know, reduced to stereotypical writing. Nyssa is empowered because of the women that serve her. Now, she's got a military guild leader named Jaina Zod and her daughter Lyta Zod, another pair of strong female character actresses, I might ask. Both played by Anne Ogbomo and Georgina Campbell. And if you didn't catch that, I said the name Zod. That's right, Zod. For you fanboys out there, and fangirls, sorry. Now, the show does provide, the show provides the ancestors of Superman's nemesis, which are well-written characters. And in my opinion, they're kind of becoming the best developed plot points. They show what it means to be an honorable soldier under this a corrupt leader. Most notably, when the military is ordered to search for members of terrorists, they're unsuccessfully, they unsuccessfully tried to assassinate the voice of Rao. And then, we also see Lyta's romantic relationship. Now, she has this with Seg. And this is going to give Lyta sympathy for the Rankless, who her peers, the Guild, view as scum. So because of Lyta's newfound sympathy towards the Rankless, she finds herself in competition, or she finds herself challenging her leader, so she's going to basically challenge him to a death match so she can ensure that this pending raid will be handled more humanely. But then, you know, I think, is it enough to create change in the faction? Again, we must tune in to find out. One of the most interesting things is the voice of Rao and his status as a political and religious leader. This is smart, because it gives the show the ability to examine religion and how it plays in civilization. I like how they use it as a metaphor, you know, for the effects on people. Like here on Earth, we see how religion has effects on Earthlings. And this is something Star Trek has used brilliantly, you know, the metaphor, talking about what's going on our planet, but because it happens on another planet, you can not scream racism or whatever because it's happening on another planet, but you can get the message. So, like I said, brilliantly played. I love that, because, you know, Star Trek reference, sorry. But Kryptonians are in a culture war now. The elites, they respect Rao because he's powerful. The Rankless, I forgot what they were called, they revere him as the god, the messiah of light and hope. And Krypton takes conflict to a new level where the faithful are forced into hiding. And Rao has declared himself as the one true god of Krypton. So the potential for conflict is about to sprout into something. Again, stay tuned. Now, I was thinking, how are they going to avoid prequel problems? This is where they were smart. They introduce Brainiac. That is going to, bring people's attention, especially like geeks like me who are like, ugh, Superman's grandfather, really? No superpowers? This does not sound interesting, but now you're introducing Brainiac? Okay, now it's kind of enticed me and fans, and guess what? They do it awesomely. He looks great. He's played played divinely by actor Blake Ritson. And by the way, I could be wrong, but is this the first time we've ever seen a live-action screen portrayal of this time traveler, Brainiac, who wants to make sure Superman does not exist? I think it is. Anyway. I forgot to mention Adam Strange. This character is introduced in the beginning, and basically he's going to tell Seg that he was sent from the future to save Krypton by his grandson, Kal-El, who Seg's like, what? Tells him everything that's going to be happening, but he does forget to mention Krypton's fate, you know, the kaboom. So that does lead to an issue of trust, I bet. Again, stay tuned. And then my next question is, if Krypton is saved, will Superman still exist? So I ask myself, how is this conflict going to play out? Am I going to have to wait and see? Are we all going to have to wait and see? But so far, this show has swerved and has had some really amazing surprises and some great action. I've been totally entertained and thrilled. I love how they handle the social issues of this world without, you know, with the writing. It's so smart. And I didn't know I wanted this show about Superman's grandpa. A grandpa that has no superpowers, and the world of Krypton and the Kryptonians and their social issues. I thought, when I first heard this show, I was like, snooze. But I saw the trailer that I had played for you earlier, and I was like, holy crap, I think I'm in. So I checked the first episode out, and I was like, I'm in for episode 2. Then it was 3, then 4. I'm like, holy hell, I'm in. And I can't wait to see how this season ends. I mean, I'm halfway through, and I'm already excited for the finale and for what they can tell on future story for season 2. I mean, we know how it's going to end, kaboom, but the story of how it gets there is intriguing, and I am enjoying the hell out of it. And the Zods, it's going to come into play. I want no spoilers, but yeah, Zods, that's awesome. And I love how they're portrayed, and they're strong, and it really gives you insight of General Zod from, you know, Superman 2, because you're like, he is a hero of Krypton. He wants to save Krypton, but we thought he was a villain. But the story they're telling and how they roll it together is going to give you maybe some, I don't know, compassion or some understanding towards that Zod, because it all kind of plays in to the future of Krypton. They're doing a masterful job of weaving these stories together, and I don't want to give too much away, but yeah, they do it. And they're doing it really well. So kudos, sci-fi. Thank you. So you're probably asking yourself, well, B, do you rate this show? And I thought to myself, B, how do you rate this show? And I thought, well, first, I don't have a fucking rating system. Let's make a rating system, because we're going to be doing more of these, right? Yes. So I thought, okay, so sit down. We're going to go with 1 through 5. 1 being shit, right, basically, and 5 being the greatest. So I thought, well, to make it unique and original towards me or to me, or because I'm the one doing this podcast, let's make it fun and whatever. So I sat down and wrote 1 through 5. Here they are. Number 1, which is the lowest, fuck this shit. Number 2, come on, really? Number 3, safe. Safe at third. I like that one. 4, a must see, come on. And number 5, you're an asshole if you miss this. So, what do I give this show? This enthusiastic show that I have enthusiastic or the show that I've enthusiastically embraced, I am going to say you're an asshole if you miss this. I'm giving it 5 stars. Very enthusiastic 5 stars. I love where it's going. I love everything about it. I love the portrayals. I love the action. I love the intrigue. It's a good show. And I'm rating it 5. You're an asshole if you miss it. So don't be an asshole and check out Krypton. Hey, I wanted to talk some wrestling this week. Just got done listening to the latest Talk is Jericho podcast. You're welcome, Chris. I'm advertising for you. All 3 of my listeners out there are checking you out. And it was a pretty good podcast. I enjoy it. Kind of inspires me to, like, some of the things he does inspires me to talk about on my podcast as well. So that's kind of why we're talking about wrestling today. And it's probably going to be an ongoing segment with me. There was some things on there that Daniel Bryan talked about, some behind-the-scenes stuff of the, you know, working at WWE that I find really interesting. And I just wanted to kind of bring up some of the things that he talked about that was like, wow, really? And one of the things that I was kind of shocked was that Daniel had revealed by WWE, didn't say who, but that he was told, mind you, told. And I would figure, you know, WWE liked Daniel Bryan, and, you know, they kind of felt bad for him because of the injury, and he newly married, wife's going to have a baby, well, she's had the baby, the guy's out of work, let's give him a job. But apparently he says that he was told to be the GM on SmackDown Live. And he did not like it. And he went on to say, quote, that lots of people go to their jobs that they do not like and make way less money than me being the GM of SmackDown. But I could not get out of this mental space of being, gosh, do I hate coming here? Wow. Daniel went on to say that because he wanted to be in the ring wrestling, that he just could not sit on the sidelines and watch other people wrestle. You know, and when I would watch him on SmackDown Live, he would not look very happy. And I would ask myself, dude, you got a job. What? You're still working in wrestling. You know, he just didn't seem like happy-go-lucky Brian, you know, he just seemed a little, you know, ugh. And he went on to continue that it was very difficult for him. He also said that if he arrived for TV only to find out that he was going to be doing backstage segments, he said that he would request that the they would film his segments as early as possible so he could just leave the building. And that he literally, this is his quote, I literally dislike going to work every week. And that's when I, Daniel Bryan, started to be like, okay, I'm not going to accept this anymore. I'm going to come back. And that, which he did. And then Daniel revealed to Chris Jericho, if he hadn't been cleared by WWE when his contract expires in September 1st, 2018, that he would have been done. And that was a rumor that had been floating around. You know, I knew that New Japan was kind of courting him, or he was courting them, or Ring of Honor and those type of places. And he goes through here and he kind of says that, you know. After he said that he literally disliked going to work every week, and that's when he, like I said, he started to be like, okay, I'm not going to accept this anymore. I'm going to come back. So he did go on to say that he wanted to go to New Japan, Ring of Honor, and CMLL. Must be another wrestling business out there. I'm not familiar with that one. I'll have to do some research. He went on to say the Bullet Club is very hot, but they needed somebody to go against. Somebody that would draw money and interest and bring independent wrestling to another level. And then And you, referring to Chris Jericho, came in and just did it. And he's also referring to Jericho's hot match with Kenny Omega, the match they had in New Japan a few months ago. That was a great match. But just enjoying it while I can, because now that it has been taken away from me, and I know what it's like to lose it. So, maybe that's why, you know, Daniel Bryan's been losing some of the matches. You know, WWE thinks he's going to be leaving, or are they going to have him, you know, be on a losing streak for a while? You know, the little engine that could, because that's what it was until he chugged his way up to the championship at WrestleMania 30, which was a huge win. The audience went nuts. That was a great WrestleMania, by the way. So are they going to retell that story again, or are they just kind of just bringing him along until he resigns, or if he's going to jump ship and go over to Ring of Honor or New Japan? I've just started to watch those shows more regularly, and I will tell you, you know, because I'm going to get into this Backlash semi-review. I mean, it was a piece of shit pay-per-view. I think it was probably, in my opinion, one of the worst pay-per-views lately. It was on last Sunday. And one of the biggest eye-opening moments is when the audience starts leaving early and they boo the main event, which was Roman Reigns and Samoa Joe, which should have been a barn burner of a match. I was really excited because Samoa Joe is very exciting, but it just kind of went out there and it wasn't a great match. You know, Reigns, I'm going to come back around to this in a second, but yeah, the audience was walking out on your main event and they're booing your main event guys, Roman Reigns and Samoa Joe, which I kind of understand the Reigns thing. And like I said, I'm going to come back around to that, but to be booing Samoa Joe, no, I'm not having it. That's not cool. As a matter of fact, I sent a tweet to WWE shortly after this pay-per-view and said, "You're about to be fired," because I just don't like what they're doing with their wrestlers that are over. I don't like what they did to Asuka, losing the streak to Charlotte, and then have Charlotte lose it to Carmella, who Carmella is... It weakens Charlotte because she had this match and she beat the undefeated Asuka only to lose it to this Carmella. And Carmella has no credibility and just things like that. And, you know, Samoa Joe and Roman Reigns. Anyway, reports are WWE basically is not happy about Roman not getting over. Well, duh. Whose fault is that, WWE? Your last-minute decision to have him lose at WrestleMania, then... it was back-to-back loses and the Greatest Royal Rumble. You made him look weak. People aren't going to cheer for him. You want this guy to beat Lesnar? You want this guy to be your fucking champion? But you're having him lose. I mean, the boos are becoming incredibly loud on Monday nights when he comes out. I'm wondering, are they going to turn him heel? I mean, I don't know what they're doing, you know? And when I'm thinking about the heel turn, you know, Slice Wrestling comes out and reports that WWE officials view turning Roman Reigns heel as a last option in attempts to push his character. Well, you're not pushing him. You're fucking him over. So basically what they're saying is if all else fails, WWE Universe could see Roman win the WWE Championship and then turn into a mega heel to begin with top faces on Raw. Groovy. But your problem is Roman just started a feud with Jinder Mahal. And according to some wrestling advertisements that I read, this is going to continue till July. How in the fuck can Reigns turn heel when you already have a gender heel? That's two negatives cancel each other out. That doesn't work. I mean, his next opportunity will be... yeah. Will be when Brock Lesnar defends his title at SummerSlam. Jesus Christ, we've already seen him lose, what, 2-3 times to Lesnar now? I'm not looking forward to another match. And this is going to be like, okay, we're telegraphing this in because he's really going to win this time. You know, who's going to want to watch that fucking match? You know Reigns is going to win. He's not getting over. People are booing him. The audience is walking out. I don't know about you, but WWE has taken a big steamy dump on Reigns. I can't even talk. And like the audience, I don't care anymore. And how much more will I care when when SummerSlam comes around? This would be like the third rematch. I don't think I'm going to care. I don't think I want to see this match. I didn't want to see the freaking Greatest Royal Rumble match. I didn't want to. Yeah, it's just, we all thought WrestleMania, that was going to be the win. But you're not doing Reigns any favors, guys. Your storytelling, your writers, you guys need to work on the story. Just come on, WWE. Jesus. You know, I know you're got to sell your toys to the goddamn kids, but at least sell stories. I mean, like Pixar, adults and kids can go to these movies because the stories are good. Make the stories good, assholes. Make the stories good. We'll tune in. And give us some good matches that make fucking sense and take care of the people that are over. Like Asuka. Where the fuck has she been? She's a gem and you're fucking got this stupid Carmella? Oh my God. Just, I'm not even going to get into other examples because there's too many and this is going to go too long and maybe I'll talk about it in further segments, which is a good idea because I want to do more wrestling segments, but yeah. Just, come on, WWE. For Christ's sake, get it together. So, big surprise. John Cena's a dick. So, May 5th, John Cena and Nikki Belly were... Belly? I'd like to shoot something on her belly. John Cena and Nikki Bella were scheduled to get married. Remember this? 1 year after that big WrestleMania proposal? Well, the announcement came just after 6 years of being a couple that they were splitting up just a few weeks before the big event. Apparently, Nikki does want children. And Cena wants to continue being a narcissistic asshole. He warned her. He made her sign contracts to live with her. And she had a contract. She had to move out within a certain time frame if they ever broke up. His portrayal of himself on Total Divas and the Bellas, I think it paints a very clear picture of this guy. And he is an asshole, and I feel so sorry for her investing 6 years into this dick. You can tell he's a dick. And I've heard people, I've talked to other fans who've met Cena behind the scenes and how he won't take pictures and he won't sign autographs and he's mean to people and says, you're just going to fucking sell it on the eBay. And, you know, dude, there's fans out there. We fucking sign your paycheck. Don't be a dick. And I just feel bad for Nikki Bella because she got stuck with that narcissistic asshole. And I really, truly believe we all have some narcissism to be on TV, to be doing podcasting. I mean, sure, Nikki's got some narcissism. And she's kind of a diva. She's on the show. But she's a sweetheart. You can tell she's a sweetheart inside. And I feel really bad that she spent 6 years with this dick who told her in the beginning he wasn't going to marry her, and who told her he didn't want to have kids, and they almost broke up on Total Divas, and this is where fact and fiction get blurry, and they were going to break up, and then she decided, well, I don't want to have kids. My theory is after Bree had her daughter, Bernie, I think it lit a fire under Nikki and reminded her that she did really want to have kids after all. And that was the problem, because Cena's not going to have kids. Cena wants to make his money. I don't know his financial situation. I don't know his story. But he just looks like a real OCD kind of dick. And I don't know how she put up with him. I mean, if he was just worried about losing his money. He don't want to lose his money. He don't want to pay child support. He don't want to pay, you know, the word escapes me. When you get divorced, alimony, Jesus Christ. Alimony. He don't want to pay alimony. The prenup must have been 42 pages long. I guarantee fucking tea it was. Nikki, you're better than that. You can find somebody out there who will love you and give you the family that you deserve. So just stay strong, girlfriend out there. You still have fans out there that believe in you. And just do you for a while. So anyway, Cena posted on Twitter the day of the canceled wedding. This is what he wrote. If you choose to keep moving, no matter how low the road takes you, it will eventually bring to... It will begin. Take two. If you choose to keep moving, no matter how low the road takes you, it will eventually begin to climb back up. Hashtag never give up. Dick. Dick, dick, dick. John Cena, you're a dick. And I... Let's go, Cena. Cena sucks. Apparently, Body Slam reports that Cena has been seen in clubs and hooking up in Tampa, Florida, where he lives. And according to a tweet from Brad Shepard, John Cena, I didn't do any research, but I guess Brad Shepard works for Body Slam. John Cena, I love this. Brad Shepard tweets, John Cena rebounds quicker than Dennis Rodman, or, so I hear, hand over mouth emoji. Body Slam also reports that Cena has already moved on and that he's hooking up with one of the stars of Total Divas. Now, if you're a wrestling fan, you know this. If you're just listening to me and you don't know this, but Total Divas stars Nikki Bella. Dick! So now ringside news comes along, and if they are to be believed, the diva that is hooking up with Cena is no other than the aforementioned Carmella I mentioned earlier, who just so happened to win the WWE Women's Championship a couple weeks ago. Coincidence? I mean, John Cena is Vince's golden boy. What John Cena wants, John Cena gets. Could that be... God, I'm reaching. This is all hypothetical, alleged stuff that I'm just paranoia in my brain. John Cena trying to woo her by making her a champion? I don't know. Smells fishy to me. So basically it's Carmella. And get this, another coincidence, Carmella and Cena both live in, you guessed it, Tampa, Florida. As The Rock would say, do you smell what's cooking? And then I thought, well, what about Big Cass? And I didn't even know this. Well, apparently that relationship ended late last year when Cass said he had no intentions on marrying Carmella. Now, is that not the same thing John Cena told Nikki Bella in the beginning of their 6-year relationship? Carmella. Hello, Carmella. Do you see a pattern here? Carmella. Oh my God, are you that fucking stupid? If you are boning John Cena, you are an idiot, because if you think you're going to get anywhere, you're going to invest 6 years and get nowhere. You're going to be like Nikki Bella, which, again, is the star on Total Divas, which has been renewed for 2 more seasons. So, if any of this, all this that I've just talked about, is true, the lines are about to get seriously blurred between fact and fiction on that reality show. So, that should make for some good TV watching, because you know I'm going to fucking be watching that shit. That's my soap opera. My daughters give me shit for watching that, and I don't give a fuck. So, that's wrestling for this week.
But when I walked in the room, like, my wife had set up shop, like, in a big bad way. She had made the place her own. She had, she was on the balcony. She had taken the mattress off the bed and moved it over a chair on the balcony to create this kind of chaise lounge affair. And she was laying on it like the Queen of Sheba, reading a thick-ass book. And she had this big-ass goblet of wine in her hand, and the bottle looked empty. I gauged her to be about 4 glasses into Spokane at this point, because she was saying stupid shit like, I could live here. I've been with a woman 20 years. I know she couldn't fucking live there, man. So, you know, she said, what are you doing here? And I was like, I'm between gigs, man. They wouldn't let me smoke at the club, so I came here to smoke on the balcony, man, and see you. And she goes, well, Jesus, I'm reading my book, Kevin. I don't want to get into a big conversation about your night. And I was like, I don't fucking need to talk to you. I was like, I was just with like 200 people who paid me money to hear me talk. So that's fucking cool. Like, you don't have to, we don't have to get in a conversation. She goes, I know you. After a show, you get home and you're Mr. Storytime and you got to tell all your stories and shit. I was like, I have no fucking stories to tell, man. I was like, tell you what, you sit there and fucking drink and read your book, and I'll stand over here and fucking smoke my weed, and we'll be together alone, you know? Because that's what fucking marriage is. Go, you know? So I just sat there smoking, and she was reading her book. And the problem is, when I smoke, that's when I get chatty. So... So I was standing there, I was like, did I fucking tell you what happened to me the last time I was on a balcony smoking weed? And she slams the book closed. She goes, I knew it's story time.
So this week on What's New with Kevin Smith, that clip you just heard is from the special that writer and director comic Kevin Smith took the stage at Glendale's Alex Theater to perform the first of 2 planned stand-up shows that night. But right after the first show ended, he suffered a major heart attack and, thank God, survived, thanks to the prompt medical intervention at the Glendale Hospital. That new special consists of that performance you just listened to on that harrowing night. So 9 p.m. Showtime, Friday night, May 11th is when it premieres. I'm sure Showtime's got some kind of app. You can find it on demand. Make sure you check it out. Kevin's always very entertaining, and you're welcome for the plug, Showtime. Maybe someday you'll want to advertise on my podcast. But check it out. And that's what's new with Kevin Smith this week. All right, that's this week's podcast, Live from Earth, here with Brian. I want to thank everybody for checking us out and joining in. I want to give a shout-out and let everybody know, hey, we're up. We were at number 137 on Podomatic, and now we are up to number 20. That's right, motherfuckers. Number 20. That's pretty impressive. So there are people out there listening, and I want to say thank you so much for tuning in. You know, don't be afraid to go on to Apple iTunes and rate us. Give us a thumbs up. Let us know what you're thinking. I'm always looking for suggestions for shows. So if you have some constructive criticisms, you know, drop me a line. livefromearthpodcast@gmail.com. Not real hard. You can also check us out, like I said, on Podomatic. And I apologize for the unevenness of the beginning of the show, but life is what happens when busy making plans. And, you know, I had writer's block for 2 days, and I was just kind of rolling, and I got interrupted by phone calls, which I left in on the podcast so you guys could see what it's like live from Brian's earth, you know, living my life. And I kind of took it out on my daughter, and I probably shouldn't have. So I'm kind of an asshole, so I'm going to go in and apologize to her and take her out for dinner, because that's what dads do. But you know what? Like I told her in the car, I said, you know, yeah, you fucked it up. You know, I had writer's block and knives rolling. And I mean, you know, and I probably was a little harsh, but I was just aggravated because, you know, you work so hard, two jobs, trying to fit everything in. And when you have a moment and you've had writer's block and then you're rolling and then you get interrupted because life, shouldn't take it out on the ones you love. You know, that's not cool. So I apologize for that. But, you know, I'm human. So, hey, what are you going to do? Live and learn. And I'm just going to keep moving forward and spend some time with her. But I lost track where the fuck I was going with this. Already got ideas for episode 12. So make sure you check in. I'm going to trying to get a little more schedule-y with the podcast, so you can kind of expect it every 7 to 10 days. That's my goal. Eventually, you know, maybe every Monday or every Tuesday or every Wednesday, you'll get that thing. Like I said, it's a process. It's a learning curve. I think I just got the name of this episode: learning curve. So, thanks again for checking in to the Life from Earth podcast. I love you. I appreciate you. And keep checking in. Spread the word. Let your friends, relatives, people you even hate say, check, you know, hey man, check out that podcast. If you hate them, maybe they'll love it, or they'll hate it and they'll cuss you out for why did you turn me on to that goddamn podcast? Because it's good. And the guy is moving on up to the side, from number 137 to number 20. So we'll keep going with the bullet. But for the third or fourth time, thank you. And episode 12 coming soon. So don't be a stranger. Drop me a line. Give me a thumbs up. Whatever. And I will see you next week. So this is me signing off live from Earth. Ciao.